Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics. Every single week, we will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you can turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. When I do deliverance, especially against demonic, they're all demonic spirits, but dangerous demonic spirits or drug addictions or some really difficult things, according to man's thinking. The first thing the Lord had me tell people, I was like, we're going to do this my way or we're not doing this. I'm not negotiating with your devils. I don't really need your input on this except for when I'm asking you questions. I'm going to tell you what to do. Now, this is for a violent spirit of murder. And I was like, this is how we're doing this. If you want my help. And I've just learned even recently, it wasn't as extreme of a case. You know what? I'm not playing this anymore. If they don't want to do it the way the Lord shows me to do it, I'm not going to waste any more time or spend tons of hours trying to teach while the devil just takes them doing their own la-di-da thing. And then they end up worse than they were. And then you spend all that time trying to help when they did not want to do it the way God was showing you to do it. Amen? So that's the asking part. They have to ask. They have to seek. And they have to knock. Which means they're going to do whatever they have to do to get to victory. So I told this person, we're sending men over to your house. And they're going to go through your things. And they're going to take everything out of your house that isn't of God. Any music, any weapons, any magazines, any computers, anything that might be in you to feed that devil and make him stronger is got to go. Now, if that and we have somebody who needed a major deliverance, and they decided they were going to call the shots, and it was back and forth, and they were very dangerous. And they, when we hit the one thing that they needed to get rid of to get free, forget it. They were not willing. And that was it. You can leave. We don't need you around here. We're not going to help you. See, you can't do deliverance. I'm talking about stronghold demonic. I'm talking about people with strong witchcraft, murder spirits, schizophrenia, really strong mental illness, what we call mental illness. And I'm going to put this out there. I believe that mental illness, like all illness, has a demon behind it. And I actually believe mental illness has a full-blown strong man behind it that you cannot get to without power. Now we'll talk about that later. So people think we tried to get that out. No, power, very few people walk in power yet. Oh, but we got to begin to ask for it, right? See, most deliverance, and that's why there's a questionnaire and you talk to people, whatever. Why? Because you're reasoning, right? You're reasoning with them and giving them answers and getting them to participate in the deliverance, right? But when people get to a place where they can't do that, it's only power. And we're going to get to more examples of this, but I can tell this isn't going to be a one-night thing, right? You get to power. How many know when Jesus, that whole little thing where it's not a little thing, he says, we're going to go and preach the gospel to the poor. Let's get people saved. We're going to heal the brokenhearted places. Let's go in where Satan's caused damage and pain and hurt and bring Christ into it and heal it. We're going to set the captives free, begin to cast demons out. But you're still in a place of being able to reason with them. You shall know the truth. The truth shall set you free. Hate what God's hate. It has to come out. Show them who they are in Christ. All this kind of stuff, right? Then there's open the eyes of the blind. This is a time of power for creative miracles, but it really means they don't see this right. How many know right now, In America, this nation is so divided because a lot, let's see this, the church, the true born again church is so divided in some areas. Why? Because of blindness. Amen? Because of blindness. Because somebody's not seeing things right, but they don't know it. Can you get some, close your eyes. Everybody got your eyes closed? What do you see? Nothing. All right. Blindness is like that. It means you don't know. You don't see nothing. You don't understand nothing. You don't get it. You can open your eyes now. And God says he's come to open the eyes of the blind. He's going to make you see what you can't see. He's going to make you understand what you can't understand. You can open your eyes now so you don't fall asleep. Okay. All right. And then the very last thing in that list of what Jesus came to do in Luke 4, I think it's Luke 4, 14 or 18, he says, I've come to set at liberty those who've been completely crushed by the enemy. Those are people who cannot reason anymore. They can't know the truth to be set free. They can't ask. They don't know how to seek. Those are people who have brain damage. It's not their fault. It's not about fault. The enemy somehow caused an accident or whatever where there's brain damage and they can't reason, right? There can be spirit. That doesn't always have to be a spirit involved. It still needs a creative miracle, right? It still needs the power of a creative miracle and to destroy whatever demon was behind it. Amen? But a lot of these different things, there's a demonic thing. Okay, when people say, well, they can see it in the brain. Of course you can. Just like when a spirit of infirmity gets on you, you can find it in the x-rays. You can find it in the blood work. Why? Because everything starts in the spirit. Your soul comes in agreement with it. And then it manifests in the body. Most people don't pay any attention until it's manifested in the body. So we've already missed the time to deal with it in the spirit to stop it. We've already gotten beyond the time to deal with the heart issues and being healed in the brokenhearted places to stop it from physically affecting us. Does everybody get this? So we need to grow up as a church and begin to recognize we're spiritual. We have spiritual eyes and spiritual ears. We don't have to keep getting to the bottom and trying to get help. We need to live and operate from the kingdom. And then you stop this stuff before it starts. I'm not getting into it. There's something kind of big deal that tried to start this week in the sense of lawsuitsy kind of thing. And I just went before God and I said, we're not doing this again. We broke it and it broke. Amen? Because I take seriously now operating in the spirit realm first. Seek first the kingdom of God and righteousness. Be right where he wants you to be. And he'll take care of everything. You don't have to have all these manifested things happen where you're in the hospital and you're doing this and you're doing that. And you can really trust and believe God. There's so many spiritual laws. So listen to a lot of the teaching. Get back in the teaching. Put yourself in school. Amen? But let me just say, God, and I want you to know this with deliverance. I want you to know this with deliverance because I didn't even know this with deliverance. God can get you, God can do what he wants when he wants because he's God. He just wants your yes. So this one time, this person was demon possessed. The enemy was trying to destroy them. There was generational curses. There's different things they opened the door to. There's all kinds of reasons. God's faithful even when we're not, praise God. But I knew that I could reason with somebody still and I could give somebody truth and I could help somebody break the power of things and I could heal the brokenhearted places. But when somebody was outside of reasoning, which we would call insanity or they'd label it schizophrenia or whatever disease, you know, what mental illness, I knew personally, I didn't feel like I had the authority there. Lord, I haven't walked in that kind of power. And I hadn't. But that person kept asking, seeking, and knocking. That person fasted all those things. They said, okay, take that. Get it out of my house. Get it away from me. We had people watching this person. God just set it up so somebody could watch them at work and watch them in their home and watch them where so they couldn't hurt anybody. And God supernaturally set all that up. And the person had to come and meet with me every week, and they had to come to every meeting. And I'm going to tell you something. That person struggled to walk in this building because that devil did not want him in this building. And when you're struggling, devil said, don't go. Let me tell you, that's when you ought to take a stand and say, you know what? I know it's not God telling me not to go. So I need to go. So many people even watching, you ran when this is where you're supposed to be. So go around your little circles as long as you want. Door's always open and God's faithful. But quit running. When the enemy's like, I can't go with you anymore. The minute you can't go somewhere is the minute you probably better go. Amen. I'm serious. And quit all your excuses. It's just how it works in the kingdom. Jesus didn't leave. They arrested him. They crucified him. Amen. And he still came back. Amen. So anyway, I just never forget. Because I wasn't ready for this. Was scary. To me, this was scary. Because I knew that in the natural, this person could hurt me really bad. I knew that this spirit in this person could take over in them and really go for it. And every time this person, and it's happened more than once, but every time this person would walk in the building, I couldn't stand it almost because the demon was stare at me. And just stare, and I could just see this demon trying to get that person to get up and kill me. But I had to get above it. Amen? I had to walk in love. I had to separate the person from the spirit tormenting them. I had to trust. I had to get God's compassion for that person. I want to see that person free. And I remember when I told the person, I said, look, if you stay through the whole service, I'll pray for you at the end of the service. I'll be honest, I was hoping they'd leave. I was really hoping. I said, God, Lord, I don't want to face that thing. It's already tried to get me a couple times. I'll never forget this. This is like my deliverance. This is my deliverance finale chapter that we're now working our way to have that kind of power. So I thought the person had left. And almost everybody left, but about 7 people were still here. And all of a sudden, that person shows up by the sound booth and goes, and they were all demonized. You could tell that you said you'd pray for me if I stayed. I'm like, oh man, I thought you left. By now it's like 10 o'clock. I was like, oh geez. So I'm like, so my thinking is, because you're human in this, all right? So you really have human thoughts. It's kind of funny. Heaven's got to be laughing with some of this. It's like, don't you know God lives in you? Don't you know the power of God is in you? But our flesh is trembling in fear, amen? And your heart is, God's got to do it. So don't get on an ego trip. A little itsy bitsy kid with the devil in him can beat the tar out of a grown man. Okay, so this isn't about that. This is about God in us. So I thought, okay, well, I can go help the person with this and this and this. So I went over to pray for this person. And my thinking was, I can't get somebody free from a spirit of schizophrenia. I don't know how. I don't know how. I can't reason with them. I don't know how. But we'll try to bind something. The minute I put my hand, as soon as I put my hand up to put on this person, I'm telling you the truth. I'm not saying this always has to happen. I'm just telling you, it was just what God showed me. I felt it. My hand literally felt like it grew 7 times bigger. It was really funny. After the deliverance, the person said, man, I had to look at your hand. It felt like it was like 7 times bigger. When I felt that, and I'm not telling you to go by what you feel. I'm telling you, God was revealing to me it was him doing it. And it wasn't me doing it. The thing is, the minute I put that hand with the power of God on the hand, and if you can look up scriptures about the hand of God, it's really powerful. But when the hand of God touched this person through me, it was war, people. It was 45 minutes of straight out war. And God won. God one. And I won't tell you the stories, but I will tell you some of them. It was just unbelievable. God just opened the spirit realm. He like opened the veil and let us really see what was going on in this person and what was happening to this person. And they were totally out of it. They couldn't tell you this day almost anything that was happening in the natural. All they saw was in the spirit, the demons trying to kill them and all this kind of stuff. At one point, the demons in them were begging us to let them stay. They were begging the person to say, out of their mouth, they were saying, tell them you want me. Tell them you want me. Don't I make you cool? Don't I make you strong? And they're like, shut up in the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter what they want. So let me tell you this about deliverance. And this is any time you're starting any kind of deliverance, because you never know when the fight's going to come. Amen? It's not, get free from thinking this is all in your nice little box and your nice little mind and you can do this. This is an adventure in God. Amen. So one thing I always do, and I really always do this if I even think we're talking deliverance possibility. And so when you're in your groups, you want to make sure in the beginning prayer, whatever, that you make sure in this whole thing at the very beginning, I would do this every time. Have everyone say, who is Lord? Say, who is your Lord? And let them say from their own heart and mean it, Jesus is Lord. You ask them, who's your Lord? Okay. And they may not be born again. They may not be able to say Jesus is Lord. Then what happens? You need to get them born again. I've almost never done a deliverance, a really strong one, where the devil didn't do his best to make them not say Jesus is Lord. It's a test of the spirit. So you get them to say Jesus is Lord, not in some formula, okay? I'm not into formulas, but in a sincere way, in that conversation, if you have a little group of three or four and you're ministering to someone, you don't know what might show up, right? If you think you do, I'm gonna send some real cases your way, all right? Some real cases your way. All right, I'm not talking about the stuff we do on Tuesday nights before where we see that we told a lie and we repent and we ask it to leave, and all that's cool, all right? All that's cool, but let's set up the platform tonight to get to a place of casting out powerful demons that are destroying people, amen? Trying to take them to hell, causing violence, causing crime, causing murder, causing all these horrible things, all right? Amen? And I've taken these things out. And I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I mean, I've not had a clue. I've jumped over seats and took a spirit of witchcraft out of a girl at a meeting. I couldn't believe I could fly over seats like that. You know, took a spirit of murder out of a man at my house one time. So I started wearing pants. I mean, you're going to be jumping up in the air. And it came out. That person went through deliverance, thought they were saved, but nobody got that demon out. That person cried the whole way home. It's very real. It's very wild. And so get ready. I can feel the anointing that we're going to be seeing this stuff. We're going to be going there. Some of you got some of those things in you and you don't even know it. It's so fun, isn't it? How many want to be free? Really, really free. Just free. And then setting another free. Get that thing out, get that log out of your eye. So you can help others really get free. And you'll know how to. And you'll be humble. You'll know this is what this is going to take. How many know with this outpouring that God's going to do, he's going to need as many people doing deliverance, sincere healing of the brokenhearted and deliverance as any time in history. What do we do today? They just put them on drugs. Because they can't get a demon out except in the name of Jesus by the blood of the Lamb. That's the only way. That's the only cure. So they medicate different parts of their brain so these demons can't talk to them and operate. And basically you end up with a person who's not who they really are. But let's not blame the medical community. Where is the church? Where's the power? Why won't God move on us to do this more? Because we haven't been hungry for it. Because we haven't been asking, seeking, and knocking. Because many of us have become so much like the world, we don't even believe in it anymore. And because so many people have done it wrong, they've made a mockery of it. Amen? So when we do deliverance, I didn't get to that scripture. I just want some of these main things you to get, because you never know what God might do after a teaching like this. Always first get them to ask them what? Who is your Lord? If they start to manifest right then and there, no, you got a hot one. Amen. You might say, can we have some help in our group? Okay. Doesn't mean we'll give it to you, but it'll be fun watching, you know. We'll go get the camera. Deliverance 101 over here. Amen. So if they can't say it, you've got to keep on until they can. You have to take authority over that thing that's got their voice. Most people will actually, many times, they won't know they have a demon, really have a demon, until all of a sudden they can't say it. They can't say the name of Jesus. Okay? So your two major weapons that I always use, that I always see work, is the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. They hate the blood of Jesus. Like, they hate it. Why do they hate the blood of Jesus? Why do they hate the blood of Jesus? Why do demons hate the weapon of the blood of Jesus? The blood of Jesus. Okay, remember, you already got that person to say Jesus is Lord, right? Right? That made that person purchased by the blood of Jesus. That made that person a possession of God. Whoa. All right? See, all this makes sense. It's not just cute little things. These are real, real deals. So when that demon hears somebody say, and they mean it, Jesus Christ is Lord, they just basically said, I've been bought and purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. He is my Lord. I am his slave. He's the one I serve. And so make sure you understand what Lord means, and make sure they understand what Lord means. Because this isn't kidding. He just doesn't set people free so they can go back and have a life, you know, hanging out with buddies and fishing and cussing and drinking a beer. But just not murdering anybody and going to prison. The deal is he's Lord. How merciful is God? How many people have gotten deliverance and just went away and never really recognized? Wait a minute, you said he was Lord. You said that in the spirit realm. You said that to such a place that Satan had to loose you. Whew. How about repentance, people? Anyone who's taken lightly that Jesus Christ is Lord, I want you to close your eyes. Let's close our eyes right now and repent. To say, Father, forgive me if I've ever used the name of Jesus, called him my Lord, but did not make him my Lord. Forgive me. Set me free. And Lord Jesus, completely take over my life. I want you to be my Lord. I want every single thing that doesn't belong inside of me to have to leave me, in your name. Amen. See, to understand the name of Jesus, you got to understand the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is not a cute little word we say. It's like in his name. In his authority, by what he's done, by who he is, by my belonging to him, I command you to come out. Don't do it in your name. They'll beat you up, take your clothes off, and make you run around naked. It's in the Bible. We don't want to see none of y'all running around naked during these deliverance groups, please. Amen. Oh, no. Somebody get those sheet things they used to use at Pentecostal meetings. We had some somewhere. It's time to get those out. So, I guess they didn't really mean it in his name. Amen. in his name. Study who he is. Study his name. Recognize it. It's in his name. I belong to him. He's my father. He's my bridegroom king. Everything I do is because of who he is. Everything I walk in the spirit is because of who he is. I am enjoying the greatest ride of my life because of who I walk with. So when I say in his name, come out in the name of Jesus, I'm not talking a formula and I'm not talking about me, and you aren't either. Even when you do a self-deliverance, tell it to come out in the name of Jesus and you mean it. Amen? Get it. Demons know his name. Go study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When they ran into Jesus, they go, what are you doing here? Are you going to send us to the pit? What are you doing? They recognize him. See, you want the demons to recognize him in you. See, they recognize him in me. I'm telling you. They recognize him in me. Whoa! Because I know who he is. And it's in his name. And I yield myself to sanctification. What's sanctification? Getting the log out of my eye. Sanctification, I don't want anything in me to belong to Satan, period. Nothing. I don't want to watch anything that Satan wants me to watch. I don't want to say anything that Satan wants me to say. I don't want to hear anything. I just don't want anything to do with it. And you know, over time, if your Christian life gets a little boring, which it shouldn't, but sometimes people just kind of fall into I don't have a major trial, so la-di-da. Next thing you know, you're watching regular stupid TV, listening to stupid music about people shooting each other or whatever. I don't care if it's country. If they're killing people in country music, they're still killing people. It ain't got to be rap to be demonic. You can choose how you want to live. I don't care. I'm not saying it's going to take you to hell. I'm going to say it's going to take away a lot of authority and power with what you're feeding yourself. Who wrote the song? What spirit wrote the song? What spirit is being released during the song? What spirit's being released during the music? You know what I'm saying? The enemy wants to tempt you into things to take away your authority and your power. I'm not saying it'll take away your salvation unless you really go deep with it. But don't you want authority and power? Don't you want to be free from doing things the way the world does it? Quit blaming God, everybody. I don't care what your situation is. He's faithful. You haven't been. Amen? Get over it. It's just the way it is. If you think you're so faithful, really stop and look at your life and look at the book of Acts and look at how you used to walk with him and look at how you're walking with him now. Look at how many years it's been and see where you're really at. And then repent. And let's do this thing for real. Amen? He's not going to let anybody take his place. If he wants you to take authority, he's going to have you take authority. God does not believe in covering doctrine. He doesn't believe there's fivefold ministers who are going to do it for you. He believes there's fivefold ministers who are to train and equip you to do it. Not to take his place in your life. But just to train, they have a special grace to train and equip you. How many know I have a special grace to train and equip you? And sometimes that means I can do the stuff. But sometimes it means, no, you've trained and equipped them long enough. Let them do the stuff. Let them take authority. Let them walk this out. Can I get an amen? Amen. He's not going to change that. He's not going to have superstar Jesus Jr. on the planet, and if you go stand in line long enough, all your cares will be taken care of. Can I hear an amen? Amen. It's like Holy Spirit in you is a little bit tired of you going to Holy Spirit and somebody else to get what's already available to you. Whoa. God doesn't have grandchildren. Amen. It's like either be his or... Sometimes he won't let somebody else do it. He will not. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will not move through somebody else to do what God wants to do through you. And he's actually given very strong authority to husbands and wives for each other, to parents for young children. You have all authority. As the children get older, you have a lot of authority. And even when they're grown, you walk in a lot of authority. Amen? As an overseer of this church, I have a lot of authority and I help a lot of people because God gives me that. Amen? But how many know it still always has to come from God? He knows when you're supposed to step out and do the stuff. And do you know the freedom you have when you begin to walk in the authority yourself and the power yourself and you understand who you are in Christ and you get what his name means and you begin to understand the power of his blood? So why the power of the blood? You've been purchased by the blood. Your sins have been forgiven. Where Satan owned you, he lost ownership. You just haven't figured it out yet. Or you keep giving ownership back. Let me tell you, everyone can quit sinning. Because you've been bought by the blood. But you can continue to sin if you want to. And then you need to ask God, why do I want to? Because that's when he spits you up, he vomits you out of your mouth. So you have to choose. He will make you choose if you're going to heaven or hell. He's not going to choose it for you. Ever. He never sent anyone to hell. Everyone in hell chose not to follow him. He said, okay, heaven, hell. No, it's like, follow me. Lay down your life and follow me. The Lord says, not me, but Jesus. And he'll give you eternal life. It's nice knowing you're not going to die. All right. Ask, it'll be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it'll be open to you. So when we're doing deliverance, you need to recognize that the people you're talking to, let's say you have a group, so the group knows, when you're talking to someone, ask them, what have you done in the way of asking? What have you done to seek? Has God shown you any doors to knock on? Now, know if they're here and they're not from BFA, the part of them being in a church like this is to ask, seek, and knock. Amen? I mean, everybody says this isn't the most comfortable place to walk into. I can't believe that. You know, like most places, everybody tries to get up front. We're like, we only get up front when we have special events and everything's packed out. And people don't know. Remember that one Sunday we had that whole family get up front? I said, oh, I hope we see you back. We haven't. It's just the supernatural is supernatural. And the power of conviction is real. And the signs and wonders are real. And the presence of God is real. And the fear of the Lord is real. Amen? Now here's what he promises. For each one that asks, they will receive. So you need to let the person know. You know, you're asking for God to completely deliver you. He promises you're going to receive that. And you need to go into ministry with this knowing in his spiritual laws, if somebody sincerely asks, they're going to receive. You need to know that about your own life. Amen? If someone's seeking, they're going to find what they're looking for. If you're not seeking, you're not going to find it.
Well, if God wants me to know, he'll tell me.
No, he won't. He wants you to know everything in his word. He wants you to know the hidden things of the word. He's already made that clear. But he says you've got to be hungry enough to seek. Let me tell you why we don't know that this election's going to go how we want or this is going to go how we want. How much is the church seeking? How much are you seeking? My gosh, I seek so much. And I watch HGTV some, not really, but, you know, it's kind of on the background. I watch news all the time. I never did before because I get what to pray. Amen? But I've always almost have my Bible, or I wake up in the middle of the night and I spend time. I want to know. I want to see, God, what is going on? What do you want me to do for America? What do you want me to do? What do you want? How do you want me to do it? There's a seeking and he promises you'll find. There's an asking and he promises. So asking is to get something. God, I'm asking you to pay this bill. And then he's going to give you faith to receive it. God, I'm seeking. How do I go here? How am I going to work this? And you'll find it. For example, Lord, I'm seeking the right ministry to go to for this. You guys found it. Amen. But there's got to be a seeking. Our family's gone to this church forever. So that's where we go. There's no seeking in that. Lord, where am I supposed to go? Where am I supposed to be? When am I supposed to be there? I mean, I go to a conference like that. The Lord said, go to this, and I just go. I mean, we all took a group to Chicago. Was it Chicago? I don't like going places like that. I like driving. We drove at night. Got there early on a Sunday morning when everybody was still hungover, so it was easy to drive to get there through Chicago. I mean, it was crazy. That's how I met Steve Mitchell, who's been coming to this church. Isn't God amazing? Yes. He's like, go to this. I was like, I didn't know where Chicago is. I'm like, can people drive there? I said, I guess so. We got in a car and we got there. I think we spent the night in West Virginia in the mountains or something. I don't know what we did. You guys got to wake up and start being seekers. You got to get some excitement and start going where you need to go, when you need to be there. And it doesn't matter if we're not calling the whole group is going. We may start doing more group trips though again. Amen? Seek, you'll find. Knock, and it'll be open to you. What does knock mean? It means literally do something. Step out and do something and watch God open the doors. For each one that asks, receives, the one seeks, finds, the one knocking is open. And then he goes on. This is your promise. Okay, this is your promise when you're asking for deliverance. This is your promise when you're doing deliverance. It says, what man of there is you that if his son should ask for a loaf of bread, he'll give him a stone. And if he should ask for a fish, he will give him a snake. Therefore, if you being evil, know how to give good gifts to you. Now let me say, some people are evil. And like they will, their kid will ask for something, they'll hand them a spider or something. Okay, that's not good parenting. Okay, God's showing you that the human father or mother, mainly father, is going to have a decency about them. If your parent didn't have that, or if you don't have that, it's demonic. You need to get free. You'll see in scripture a lot where God will show you what human nature acts like. And if what you act like is below that, it's demonic. Like when God says that a husband loves his own body and he wouldn't hurt it. Well, how many know there's some husbands who hurt their own bodies? That's demonic. The natural husband is not going to hurt their own body. They're going to pamper themselves, you guys. And then it says, so you're supposed to treat your wife like that. But if Satan has got in there, you might do all kinds of crazy things to hurt yourself. You need to get free from that. So you can actually study the scriptures to find out what is human nature and what is less than human nature and what is superior to human nature, which is the nature of God. Amen? So he says here, so he's saying, look, a natural dad, if his son says, hey, I'm hungry, give me something to eat, he's not going to say, here, eat this and hand him a bag of rocks. Now, those of you who are laughing about that, you need to get free from your dads who did that, okay? Just saying. If she should ask him for a fish, he's not going to give him a snake. Too many of you men are smirking and laughing in here. So I'm just kidding, like, ooh, that'd be funny. She wants some fish to eat. I'm going to bring him a snake and throw it on the table. It's like, no, no. See, that's all demonic, just so you know. So get that stuff out of your heart. He goes on. Now you're evil, your nature is evil, your fallen nature is evil. But even you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those of you who ask him? So God wants you, when you go through anything, but we're applying this to deliverance now. When you go through deliverance, God wants you to know he's not going to give you a bad gift. If you want the Holy Spirit, you're only going to get the Holy Spirit. If you want real deliverance, you're going to get deliverance. If you want signs and wonders that are from God only, you're only going to get them from God. Amen. He's not going to give you something that's going to hurt you. He's not going to do a switcheroo on you to see what you do. All right. He's also kind of telling us there, ask specific. Ask very specific, and your Heavenly Father will answer that. It goes on. All things, whatever you desire that men should do to you, you should do to them. This is the law and the prophets. All right, this is another powerful law. And we live in such a fallen culture right now, especially with all this antagonism going on. We need to get that heart. I need that heart. Lord, I want the heart where how I handle deliverance in somebody else's life is how I would want it handled in my life. And I haven't always done that. And God's setting me free from, the devil wanted me to be mean. There's just no question. That's what he's like. Let's just make her mean. And years, God's working to get this thing out. So I won't be mean. Amen. And whatever's going on in your life, you can all look at, if you get honest, you can all find the one main thing Satan tried to make you to stop what God has for you. Satan doesn't pick a million different things. He usually picks one main thing and he layers it and layers it and layers it and layers it. So if you can begin to see what that is, when we do this questionnaire, maybe some of you will see that and will start to see that. But what happens when you see that? You're like, well, I already did that. I was talking to somebody the other day and they're like, well, I already thought I did that. I'm like, oh my gosh, what you went through is like, here's an example. I said, the situation you were in makes the situation, the person that was hurting me look like Shirley Temple compared to who was hurting you. And I said, and I've been doing healing the brokenhearted places and going after God for 30 years. And just this week, he showed me that thing I was telling you guys about, that voice. And there was still a hurt place in me. There was still a critter in there of a guard, like, don't say this is my fault. So what makes you think you go through a weekend seminar or even a week seminar or somebody's school of ministry and it's all out? It's a lifestyle of sanctification. It's a lifestyle of being changed into the image of Christ. Amen? Amen? Yay. And he wants the little junk out as much as the big junk out. Amen? So you have to see what the things that Satan tried to hurt you with, quit trying to hide them. If there was perversion in your father or your mother, if there was filthy movies and filthy magazines and unclean stuff going on, it's going to affect you and it's going to try to affect generation after generation. You need to recognize it. You need to hate it. You need to repent and participate in it. You need to forgive them. Amen? All the stuff we've been learning, you have to really do it until it's what? Gone. Till it's gone. Because I promise you, if you even leave a little bit in there, it's going to come back to see if something's still in there, and it's going to try to get back in with seven friends. Worse than it ever was. That means somebody goes, let me give an example. Somebody goes from, let's say there's a generational curse of unclean stuff. Let's say their father looked at porno or something. Which isn't a small thing, it's a horrific thing. I won't get into all that. But let's say their father looked at porno. And then somehow that door was open to them. Maybe their older brother showed them some. Okay, and then that spirit gets in from a generational curse of perversion, right? Now, they don't think that big a deal of it. Nowadays, does everybody get it? What we see on regular television would have been considered an R-rated movie when we were kids. Nothing's changed. The same evil's there. We've just conditioned our whole culture to accept pornography as a way of life. Just like they're really now trying to make us think that all this sex trafficking and all these children and pedophiles is kind of normal. And y'all know what? If God doesn't intervene and the church doesn't wake up, it's going to be. That's how Sodom and Gomorrah got like Sodom and Gomorrah. We are now being conditioned that perversion is normal. And anyone who says otherwise, they're just judgmental and horrible. There's nobody living in perversion that's at peace with God. Amen? But then what happens is I forgive my father, whatever. But then you don't deal with that. Maybe you deal with, I know I used to do that. That was really bad. And I used to have that, and that was really bad. And I really got rid of all that. But I never really went back and hated this part. So when the enemy comes back to see, now isn't that the person that we used to have who would, sleep with anybody and do filthy things and defile the marriage bed and all this stuff? Is there anything still in them from perversion? They still have that eye to check out what's on the computer. They still have that eye to look at a fashion show where there's no clothes, hardly. Or to go to the beach. You know what I'm saying? The devil's like, we're still in there. We still got a guy. We still got a friend in there. That house has not been knocked down. Oh, it looks cleaner. It's been swept and it looks all clean. Don't they sound spiritual and hallelujah Sunday morning? But we still there. And what do? They come in, according to God's word, with seven worse demons and make that person worse of a sinner than they were before they found Christ. Who thinks they're exempt from that? Does everybody believe God's spiritual laws? Amen? So there's an answer. Get rid of all of it. Get honest about it. Hate it. Let me just say, the way to hell is really big and wide. The way to heaven is narrow. So if you hear that 80% of the men in America church has problem with pornography, which who wouldn't talk to 80% of the men? But in you, there's like, I'm not the only one. Then you are perverted. If it's like, oh my gosh, that's horrible. God, help us. God, make me somebody. Make me a forerunner and being free to set others free. Then there's hope for you. Because that spirit of perversion wants to find somebody else as bad as them, so they can feel okay about themselves. You're not supposed to feel okay about sin. And it could be the same for somebody gossiping or somebody lying, whatever. Oh, I only drink a little bit. Why? Do you not know that he has wine you know not of? God is awesome. People drinking cough syrup, Lord have mercy. All right. We're getting there. We're getting there. We're not quite there. See, I need to do all day conference, but you guys wouldn't come. All right. Goes on. Oh, look, it was right there after that. That's so cool. Anyway. He goes, go through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many are the ones entering through it. For narrow is the gate, constricted is the way that leads to life. Few are the ones finding it. How many want to be part of the few? I'm going to be part of the few. I'm walking in the narrow gate. Be aware of false prophets. They come in sheep clothing, but inside they're plundering wolves. In other words, don't listen to anyone who doesn't tell you the true gospel. From their fruit you know them. Anyway, go on. If there's corruption, they're corrupt. If there's evil, there's evil. A good tree cannot produce evil fruits. In other words, you can't be part of both. You can't be over here hanging out in lies and perversion and fornication and all this stuff, and over here in church and being excited and worshiping. You really can't. They don't go together. Can I get an amen? Choose who you are. Choose where you want to identify. And know it's a narrow gate. Get help. Just know it. Declare it. Get in his word. Believe it. Amen? It's not hard, you guys, because God in you is going to do it. He's not asking you to do it. His blood has covered your sin. His blood has made the enemy lose. That's why demons hate it when you say, I belong to Jesus. Who's your Lord? Jesus. And then when deliverance comes, whether you're self-delivering or somebody's own, and they say, in the name of Jesus. It's like, I've heard demons saying people, well, I don't believe. I don't care what you believe. I heard what he said when he was in his sound mind. Get out of him. But they try to talk to you and stuff. It's like, I want to talk to you. We'll look at a few places where you can talk to them. Jesus talked to them. All right. You shall know by the fruits if somebody's truly born again believer that walks with God. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the ones who do the will of my Father in heaven. Many, not a few. Get this. This is one of the most scary scriptures. Everybody said, once saved, always saved. Well, look at this scripture. Many will say to me, that's Jesus, in that day, judgment day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name, didn't we cast out demons? In your name, didn't we do many works of power? Wow. Most of the people in the church today couldn't even say any of that anyway. Yet, but we're going to get there. And then he will declare, I never knew you. We got a teaching on that's on the internet. It's powerful. Depart from me, those working lawlessness. That doesn't sound like it's okay to work lawlessness. Does it sound like it's okay to work lawlessness? Do you think Jesus is winking? That's okay. What did he just say? He said, without question, you can come to this and actually maybe cast out a demon or think you cast out a demon or maybe prophesied or think you did. It didn't say they didn't. I'm not going to argue about it. Jesus is after one thing. Do you know me? And do I know you? Does Jesus know you? You need something. Does he know me? Of course he knows about you. Does he know you? He knows me. Oh, he knows me. Does he know you? Ask him to know you. I want you to know me. I want to be with you. I want to hang out with you. I want to talk with you. I want to be your friend. I want to be your servant. I want to know you. Man, can you imagine that day when those people who did those things, and he says, I don't know you. Here was the key. He doesn't know you if you walk in lawlessness, people. If you're going to keep the mindset that you can live any way you want or have your pet sin and know him, it's not true. You got to decide. And why would that be a hard decision? It's such a great decision. It's so freeing to be his and belong to him and let the other stuff go. Make it go. Command it to go. Get into deliverance team. Be part of the group. Make it go. Talk about it. Share. Go over the things. And don't use healing the brokenhearted to stretch out and make it look like a long struggle. I'm over that, you guys. Hate it. It's not an excuse to keep doing it because you came on Tuesday nights and you came up for a prayer. Thank you for coming on Tuesday nights, but you get what I'm saying. So two people can take something and one uses it to feel better about themselves and nothing changes. And the other person gets convicted and changed and their heart's changing and they're becoming holy because he's holy. Quit playing games. You don't want to be the game player who thinks you're okay. And he says, away from me, you worker of lawlessness or iniquity. In other words, you're still working sin. There's sin in your life. There's sins all over your life. And you think I know you? I don't know you. All right, skip down a little bit. Actually, that was the cast out demons part for that part. We don't have time to get to another part. Okay, we're going to have a pop quiz. Don't get afraid. Just get ready. I'm going to ask. I won't call you by name yet. I'm just going to go over some of the main things we just learned about deliverance. So what is something you want to make sure has happened before you get very strongly into deliverance? That you ask them what? Who's your Lord? And what happens if they don't say Jesus? You make sure they get saved. If they can't even say it at the very beginning, then we're gonna have to. You may have to get some backup. All right. You don't do deliverance until someone can say that Jesus is Lord. You have to get to the power anointing, which is gonna be wild. So just on a Tuesday night little group, and we have nice people coming in to get help. We don't necessarily need that on a Tuesday night, okay? So then you stop everything and they'll come back to themselves And then you say, you know what? You couldn't even say that Jesus is Lord. We need to really talk and make sure you're saved. Okay? This is a good one. Ready? When we're doing the group ministries, unless Holy Spirit leads you to go after something deeper, don't let demons lead you. Demons could ruin your whole group, have a heyday doing fake spiritual stuff where there's no intention. That's why you want to make sure this is about Jesus as Lord. Demons can't say that. Demons, that's a test of the spirit. They can't say it. Flesh can say it, okay? Flesh can say it. And if a spirit is up and operating and you say, who's Jesus? And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit tells you, it's happened to me, it's powerful. It's like, whoa. Demons cannot say it, okay? We'll get more into that later, another meeting. All right, another question. All right, what is another powerful tool when you're actually telling a demon to come out and it's giving you a little bit of a hard time? Two things, the name of Jesus, and you guys will say why. So the more you understand who he is and the more you know him, the more powerful his name becomes in your life. Why? Because you get it. You get it. You get it. This isn't about you. This is about God in you. Is there anybody here who really thinks that God inside of a believer is not powerful enough to get any demon out? Amen? That's why you don't want to be double-minded. You don't want to have part demons in you and part Holy Spirit. You want to get sanctified. You want to get the logs out of your eye. You want to be fully belonging to God. Amen? All right. So why is the blood so important? It actually purchased you and brought you out of darkness where Satan can do whatever he wants to you and put you in the kingdom of light. It actually paid to get you away from Satan owning you, keeping you in slavery, keeping you in sin, tormenting you. It got you out of that. Okay? So that's a done deal. That's been done. He's not going to do it again. It's more than enough. He already purchased you and he brought you out of perversion and he brought you out of sin and he brought you out of generational curses. He brought you out. That's a done deal. So why are we doing deliverance? Because some people, some demons have been able to get such a stronghold in people and make them believe he can stay there, right? That sometimes we have to do what Jesus said. We have to go and literally cast them out. Right? So I want you to get that. The blood does cover. The blood makes a way. Some people can really get free without ever going through a deliverance meeting. They just recognize it. They see it. They hate it. They understand what Jesus did for them. But it's okay if something seems wilder than that and bigger than that and you want it out. Amen? You should want it out to actually have it cast out. Next week we'll look at the week after that, I may get her to go over these scriptures next week. Today we just looked at the ones on what cast out. Yeah, so we'll look at come out next week or 2 weeks from now. Next week I'm not going to be here, but we'll have the questionnaires next week, and Tina's going to be helping you go over those. Come out. So you can go say this on your own. When we look at the come out scriptures, we're going to really see Jesus doing the stuff. Amen. We're going to really see him doing this stuff. And let me just say this. If the devil starts to bug you because you're kind of stepping in on his territory to kick him out, you need to know you can bind him now, which means in the name of Jesus, you can have angels tie him up and stop him from tormenting you. Amen? Basically, that's something that you do until you can get him out. So I break the power of this tormenting spirit. I want it gone. I don't want it operating anymore. And if you're serious about deliverance, it'll be bound, okay? Think of being bound as being tied up and thrown in a corner and can't do anything. It's not being free yet, but it's making it have to leave you alone because you're asking, seeking, and knocking, okay? So you have the authority to bind and to loose, all right? And another good thing is keep yourself in Christian music. Amen. Keep yourself in Christian music. Keep yourself watching Christian things. In other words, really recognize, I'm going to really be focused. As I'm going through this, as God's going to teach me and show me and set me free, I'm going to make sure that I am so full of God. Amen. That Satan's not going to even have a way to get in. Amen. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I'm going to walk in this. I'm going to live in this. I'm going to mean this. Amen. All right, let me do one more question. We got to let you guys go. All right, somebody give me the of what Jesus said in Luke 4, I think it's 14 to 18, what he came to do, what is really, I think, everybody's mission statement, to be honest. What's the first thing Jesus came to do? It's preach the gospel to the poor. Bring people to salvation first. In your group, make sure they're saved. Don't just get them to say with the flesh, Jesus is Lord. Make sure, ask them, talk to them. I think that's in the questionnaire. Well, when did you get saved? How do you know you're saved? That's all about that. That's all making sure that they really belong to God. You want to make sure they're saved. If they're not sure, talk to them about, don't rush it. We don't do that weekend thing. If you can get back with them during the week, you can have them come over. Then, you know what I'm saying? We want to make it real. I'm not saying the other isn't. That's a different ministry, a different way they do it, and they're very powerful. All right? So we make disciples of people, of God. We make people become disciples of God. So we want to make sure they're saved. What's the second thing Jesus says we do? Heal the brokenhearted. So some of you better get some of the teaching and learn how to move in that. We'll be talking about that during these meetings. But that is before you try to cast out a demon. So for especially all you guys who haven't paid attention to much of that, some of you have. You need to get into some of the teaching, the mentorship, start listening. How do I heal the brokenhearted? We'll do a whole mini little thing on that, but we've been doing it for years. We're actually going to start operating in that. We're going to teach you, and you guys are going to do it. Amen? He talked about it some. I kind of go about it a little different, but I'm believing God's going to put the anointing for you guys to see in the Spirit. So we're going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit and how you heal the brokenhearted with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, right? What's the third thing? Setting the captives free. So deliverance. The third thing is what we're focusing on right now. Okay. What's the fourth thing? Open the eyes of the blinds. Help people see what they can't normally see and believe peekaboo and believe for creative miracles. Amen. And what's the main thing we're going to get to when we hit apostolic power? Set at liberty those who are completely oppressed, completely. See, that's what we want to get to, isn't it? How many know in America we got to get there? That's where you go in. You could be led by God to literally go into an insane asylum and set everybody free. You could go out on the street where the homeless are and they're schizophrenic and they're drug addicts and they can't really talk to you and set them free. How many know we need a move like that? How many know we need a move like that in America? Oh, then when you just go out, you're not just giving them a blanket and a sandwich. You're giving them bread of life, amen? And you're giving them a way to be free. So how many want the real deal? How many can take Tuesday nights really serious and we're really going to focus? And I really encourage you, if you haven't been a part of the inner healing for all these years, go listen to some of the teaching. Go listen to some of the teaching. When you start to have your groups and you get the questionnaires and you find out, you know, what things are what, that's a good time to realize, ooh, I bet this person in our group, they really have an issue with addictions. Let's go listen to all the teaching we can on addiction, not just from us, but other ministries. But we got a lot of it. You see what I'm saying? Because it's going to show you how to heal them. It's going to give you the scriptures. Amen? And so you're going to see this as something, as a teamwork. This isn't like somebody comes in for one time. This would be like God will send somebody in, and then whoever is that group, you'll have an hour to minister to them. And then the next week they'll come, they hear some teaching, they'll have another hour. If a few people in that group want to get together with them otherwise, let me say, if people aren't serious enough to come and put the time in it, don't waste yours. Okay? It's not a little thing. People serve the devil for years. He does anything he wants with them, and then they want God to do a really quick thing so they can be okay. So they can save their marriage, not so they can be right with God. Amen? So we're not going to play with that. We're going to help people who really want God. Amen? Father, I thank you for what you're doing tonight. Whoa. I thank you for your anointing. I thank you for your great love. I thank you, Lord, preparing us, each of us here tonight, Lord, preparing us to be those who will deliver the captives, Lord, that we will be those who will set them free. God, I just thank you for that. I thank you for filling this place up with the ministry of reconciliation. I thank you, Lord, that people are going to be able to use this and know how to pray for their children, pray for their families, pray for their co-workers. Lord God, I just thank you for what you're stirring in our hearts. We thank you for Bill Sutton and his wife, Sylvie. Lord, we thank you for what they brought and deposited here. And Lord, that we could take it to the next level in you. We ask it in Jesus' name. We give you praise. Amen. Amen. Now, if you love this teaching, and you better say you love this teaching, then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also, check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.